Our next speaker is Mike Kasten. Mike has been a full-time commercial cattle producer for more than 36 years. He produces Angus-based cattle with an emphasis on carcass quality for retained ownership. The production of high-quality heifers from the Missouri Show Me Select Replacement Heifer Program is a priority for his operation. Kasten has maintained total performance records on his cattle from birth weights to carcass traits. Mike is a past president of the Missouri Cattlemen's Association, past president of the Missouri Show Me Select Replacement Heifers, Inc., and past board member of NCBA. He has also been a recipient of the BIF Commercial Cattleman of the Year Award and CAB Commitment to Excellence Award. Please welcome Mike Kasten.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I like to think I get to be the lucky guy that gets to use all the research that we've been presented here and apply it to our practical everyday operation. Just as an introduction, everything is prefaced on we are a cow-calf grass operation, and no one has ever accused me of overfeeding my cattle. In fact, I'm told you need to feed them a little more something. They work on grass. We are 365-day cattle animals. The cows have to keep. We have total performance records. They simply have to work for a living at our place. We try to produce moderate cattle. Our goal is females. We sell through the Show Me Select Heifer Program and carcass performance. So everything's predicated on that. I have been dedicated to AI for years and years and years, and I've tried everything. I don't know, from the first time I started doing AI, I tried to figure out how to synchronize cows. You know, we've bred AI, I've ridden a horse twice a day for 60 days, we've used MGA, prostaglandin, limited suckling, early weaning, used a lot of Synchromate B. All of those systems work. They all do work, but none of them have worked as remotely well as the timed AI has for us when you consider time, costs, and results. It's just been a tremendous program for us. We've been very thankful to be able to work with the University of Missouri, Dr. Patterson, and it's just been a great way for us to achieve our genetic goals that we've been trying to do. Just quickly, you're going to have the handout, the protocols we're using on cows, the seven-day seeder, I put zero. I call it the Monday deal, but it's easier for me to do that. One is 0 day insertion seeder. You're going to have all that on your handout, breeding at 66 hours. On the heifers, we've been using the 14-day protocol for a number of years, and we're time feeding everything. So it's been working very well. I have an alliance program that I work with. I have six breeders in my program. They're kind of an extension of my herd. They own the cows. We provide the bulls. I provide them replacement females. I contract their calves back. I keep records on their cows. And so when I approach them and say, would we like to AI your cows? Well, the idea of telling them we're going to watch them every day for 25 days, twice a day, and gather them, I mean, that wasn't going to happen. So we were able to get into those herds because of the timed AI. But the number one sticking point is always how many times they're going through a chute. You tell a guy they're going to go through the chute 3 or 4 times, and it just stops a lot of people right there. So I thought, okay, I'm going to keep track of how much actual time I spend in AI and cows in a practical manner. So we kept track of our labor requirements for several years, kind of to come up with an average. And for us on the cows, the 3 trips to the chute, this is with 2 people, we spent a total of 5 minutes of labor, and multiply that 2, so we have 10 minutes of labor in the 3 trips through the chute. That's from the time the cow hits, she's in the pen, till we get done with all those processes. So, and on heifers, with the extra time, we're spending about 11.2 minutes. Total labor costs for all the procedures. That's with 2 of us. Now, I found out I've been lazy the last few years. I've had a third person, and for some reason, in the last few years, I've kind of tried to cut my expenses just a little bit. So I didn't have that third person, and we did not increase our labor, our time per cow very much. We only cut down, we breed about 33 cows a minute on the breeding side. Not a minute, that'd be really good, wouldn't it? Here we are, good. An hour, and we're about 28 heifers, but we only cut that down by a few heads. So I realized I was sitting around with a dirty sleeve waiting for them to do all the work, so now I do the GNRH shots while someone else is back stalling semen. We fall 5 straws at a time. and do all the record work, and then we sit in and breed those. So time-wise, man, if you start thinking back about observation 2 and 3 times a day for 30 days and all that, the time aspect of this is significantly less than any other thing. We are, it was mentioned earlier today, we calve 90% in the fall. I mean, trying to observe cattle in heat around Thanksgiving when it's dark at 5 o'clock in the evening, doesn't get light till 7, you just don't get it done. So we've done that. It works well for us on the fall breeding program, but something we would not be able to do probably or be very successful on observed heat in the fall breeding system. We no longer detect heat at all. If we're dedicated, and I'm going to predicate that, if we are going to do a timed AI system, we do not detect heat at all. We look out there. Yes, they're cycling, but it's just, I came up with my four reasons. David Edelman has his 10 things a day. I have my four reasons not to detect heat, okay? Number four, waste of time because it's unnecessary. If you're committed to the time AI, why bother? You know, look out there. If they're all standing and laying under the tree, maybe you want to pay attention. But if you see activity, why bother? Number three, cows coming in early may cause confusion and loss of sleep. I have a lot of guys, they're in heat. We better breed them up. Everything we ought to breed them now. In fact, I was one of those guys once, and I called Dr. Patterson, and I said, and I even tried, okay, we did the time breeding. I said, you know, isn't it a smart idea? Let's just breed them on observed heat instead of timed, and we'll breed everything on time later. And I never forget Dr. Patterson said, you didn't do as well, did you? I said, and I didn't. I did better on timed heat than trying to observe in those days' time. So why waste the time? Number three, you're committed. You can't change anything at all. And number four is you might cause you to think too much and do something stupid, okay? And I say that because I've had guys come up to me and they say, okay, it didn't work for me. You know, you start asking them questions and they get a little shy about telling you what they did. And number one is, well, you know, we decided to put that off for a couple hours or we didn't do that. If you have seen anything, the research says, here's what works, stick to the protocol. You've got to stick to the protocol. The number two thing I always hear from guys, and it always amazes me, is they've said, well, we didn't see many in heat, so we didn't want to waste the semen. Two things about that. We saw in several researchers this morning that the number of cows that don't show heat that ovulate. You're going to pick those cows up. Number two is, I guarantee you, without a doubt, that if you leave the semen in the tank and don't put it in the cow, the odds of getting their bread are really, really small. So you're committed to this. Go ahead. Do it. Our cost. There's those costs up there because that always gets people, what is it going to cost you? From us, very little difference. The cow has one more GNRH shot. Our labor is a little higher on the heifers from the extra trip. But that's our cost. Divide that out over whatever you want to. From the standpoint of conception rates, but then that's with a $20 semen, which you can sure vary that from up and down depending on what you're wanting to use. Our results on our cows were typically 60 to 70%, and we have gone as high as in the 80s. I think we've kind of, I'll talk about it a little bit later, we've ratcheted some up things and changed some things to improve that. On the heifers, we're in the 55 to 65% on that timed breeding insemination. Semen, now, we talk a lot about semen today. You know, you ever notice you talk about things and you don't realize how other people hear those sometimes? I didn't think much about talking about semen until my 10 and 13-year-old daughter said, Dad, will you quit talking about semen, you know? And then I had a friend of mine, a little brother at home, he has white-tailed deer. And he's put in cedar, synchronized his white-tailed deer. And he said, can I send you some semen to freeze, to put in your tank, because he didn't even have a tank. He said, I'm sending you 3 straws of semen from being shipped up from Texas. And I said, sure. He was going to fly 2 guys up from Texas to artificially inseminate his deer. And he said, I paid $6,000 a straw for this stuff. And I said, okay, that's going to be the most expensive semen I've ever had in my tank. So I was going to make sure I didn't drop it to the bottom of the tank. And he was calling UPS, tracking the shipment all the time. So we were kind of waiting for this. So I went in there, and then UPS shows up. I've got a tank there. He has a dry tank. Drop a little nitrogen in the dry tank. and phone rings, and I'm assuming it's him, seeing if it gotten there. So I run in, I'm a little out of breath, I answer the phone, and then there's another friend, and I said, can I call you back in 2 minutes? I'm right in the middle of unloading some semen. He interpreted that totally different than I meant it. And he won't let me do it for 2 minutes down at this point. But you've got to talk about it. You know, today, they hit on a lot of points this morning that are really important. One of the experience we've had is the huge, huge variation in bull results. Dave and I were talking about that earlier. We had one bull we used. I used successfully on observed heat for years, and that bull has sired well over 10,000 bull calves in the Angus breed. And we had a 24 and 28% conception rate on that bull. Same ejaculate, same everything in a timed AI. At the same time, in the same group of cows, we had 75 on another bull. And I urge any producer out here, or veterinarian or consultant, if you're going to use timed AI, to go to a reputable stud and say straight in their face, tell me which bulls work in a timed AI system, which are successful. And then choose your EPD profile from those bulls, because it is so different. Our variation, like I said, has been from the 80s to the 20s. A lot of bulls will fall in the 50s. But, you know, you get those bulls in the 65 and 70%, you've done the same amount of work. Let's get those extra 15, 20% calves. It's huge, hugely important. Biggest economic effects, that stimulus effect, we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. It is truly, truly a great thing for us. As I said, we don't feed our cows too much. I like to say I feed them strategically, okay? That's my way. But, you know, those cows that are gaining and in decent shape and on a gaining plane, we can really kick those cows in, as the data I was showing this morning, and make them come in and heat and really respond to that. It's tremendous for us. I like to talk on synchrony when I talk, and we saw this calving chart yesterday, and I think it's a great example. That 30 days, man, we'd like to have them all bred day one. Who wouldn't like to have them all bred day one? But boy, that second cycle, the number of cows we catch that second cycle, when we talk about a 30 days, is tremendous. You know, if we can get 65, 70 that first time, and 65 and 70% of them that are left that second time, we're almost done calving in 30 days. So when you figure those costs I showed earlier, I don't know how you attribute those cattle you kick on that second cycle, because there's some of that cost you put in that AI cycle that first time that you're getting the benefit from that second cycle. So that's a pretty hard thing to catch. But think in third times of 30 days. I think that's extremely important. Every cow's got one more chance to get bred in the 65-day calving season. I think that's a huge aspect from the standpoint of economic. Everybody's in heat day one. We've got one more chance on every cow in a breeding season now because of that. The other one, for us, it moved pregnancy from the number one culling rate to number three. We now gives us the ability to select for other traits because we can increase our performance. We can increase other aspects we want because we're getting more cows bred earlier in the season. I mean, it's a tremendous economic benefit from us from that standpoint. This is a side effect. First cattle, heifers. These would be the first heifers we AI on a time breeding system. They're on their eighth breeding season, and the number I retained, that's everything. That's disposition, bad udders, death loss, poor performance, whatever. For me, retention is a huge profitable thing. We showed Seth and the Show Me Select Heifer program, and the last three sales, I think I've been able to average between $1,400 and $1,500 for a heifer. Do I want to pass up selling that heifer to replace her if I can keep that cow in my herd? I have 15% of my cows are over the age of 12, up to 18. Longevity is real important, I think, for a commercial cow-calf operation. Let those cows work. If she's in my herd at 14 years old, that means she's done it every year, she's raised a good calf every year, and she's still doing it. And so this is real important. I'd like to, one thing about this, you know, one reason I like to, this data right here, do these speeches is it makes me look at my own data a little bit. On this group right here, I have two cows in this group. that I have bred between them 15 times. Those two cows, between those 15 services, have had one AI calf. Now, you know, you'd think a good manager would have figured that out long before now, but I didn't put the data together until after I bred them again this fall, so now we're on 17 cycles. My point is, I think what we're going to be able to do, to me, this shows me that, you know, maybe I can start selecting for these cows that respond to these protocols. I take those two cows out, and this jumps to over 80% of the time we put semen in those cows, they conceived AI. As I weed those cows out that don't work, how much more am I going to continue to improve that in the future? Not only from a genetic standpoint, but as we get them up early in the season, we have more of a chance to keep them there every year. So I think there's, and that's kind of plays down through there. If I removed a couple of cows from that data, that would jump up. I guess I could make that look better by just forgetting about those cows or selling them one way or the other. But those cows are maintaining a 365-day cow interval. I need to be putting them in a pen with a bull and forgetting about AI and those are just selling them. So I think there's some real potential there from a standpoint of selecting for animals that work in this system. It has certainly given us access to more females. I was telling you earlier, my alliance program, these people would have never bred cattle on a system of observation. Just not feasible. Some of them row crop, most of them have full-time jobs. But once we got over the hurdle of working them three times, we were able to have access to those females. And what are the benefits to them the first year? And we had these cattle down to about an 85-day calving season. The first year, the average age of those calves increased by 11 days at weaning, everything else being constant. That's 22 pounds right there. We increased their weaning weight just because of the increased age. The big thing came, you know, they weren't really sold on this AI until we finished the calving season. That sold them. They thought, in fact, some of them go, when are we going to AI this spring after calving was over? Because they were 60% done in 10 days. You know, at the end of 30, they only had a handful of cows left to calve. That really sold them. The calving aspect of that's big. They were there time when they had time. They could schedule their time. They saved more calves. Increased weight due to genetics. That isn't even counting the genetics. The data I just showed doesn't even account for the increase in the genetic quality we're putting in those cattle by the access to those. The highly proven bulls. I mean, we have started that in Show Me Select the Tier 2 where we're trying to stack genetics and market them as stacked genetics. As a commercial cow-calf man, how can you pass up the opportunity to open a catalog and look at a whole list of bulls that are highly proven that you can use, and the day you put the semen in, you're relatively assured of a significantly positive result? I mean, what better tool is there than that? So I'd emphasize, again, bulls that work in a time system and proven bulls if you're a commercial cattleman. Using one bull over, I used one bull, we bred 400 cows this fall to one bull. Highly proven bull we've had a lot of success with in my herd and the alliance herds. I mean, we're going to put together herds for the daughters of these bulls and be able to find a bull that works on them that has, and continue to do that. It gives us a tremendous tool to build consistency and quality in those cattle. And target your genetics. As I said earlier, my target is what I like to eat. I like to cook. Cooking is my hobby. I like to cook good beef. I want to produce high-end white tablecloth beef. Let me get the genetics that can stack to do that without suffering any of the production aspects of it. Because, as Dr. Cora said, the data shows we're not going to give up anything from that standpoint to get the high-end quality product. Like our targets are that, females that work in a low-input system, and that give us a high-end white tablecloth beef. Just a result of the last three pens of cattle we've fed. They were sold. I'm getting ready to harvest the pen next week. So these are last year's cattle. We sold them on the 2009 grid, which was not particularly good. But we fed 151 steers, 74 heifers. Average daily gain is 3.56, 3.48. Our conversions were 5.3 and 5.4. We were 23% prime on the steers, 15 on the heifers. CAB 5855, so that puts us over 80% on the steers on CAB are prime. That's the lower top end of low choice, right? Top end of low choice. And 100% choice, we had one heifer go select. So out of 225 head, we had one select. So we would have never done that without AI. We would have never done that without the access to genetics that the AI has given us to be able to stack that up there. Those cattle, same cattle, so that they weren't all fat, and the yield grades. I'll just go through those real quick. And so the premium per head, 115 on steers, 101 on heifers. And on that steers, if we would have had the grid we had in 2008, it would have been another $80. So there's real money there. There's real money there to pay you for doing those things. And you certainly don't have to give it up on the female side to get that to happen. We can still have cattle that will work in a grass system to make that work. Everything always rosy. I just have to throw in, what are the problems with this? And there's really no problems with the system of AI. They tend to be man-made problems. Whether the first time I talked to one of my Lions guys into doing this, I set him down and said, okay, we're going to do it in November. We set the schedule in September, and I said, it doesn't matter if it's raining, pouring, tornado, we're breeding cows at 10 o'clock on this day. It's raining that morning, 8 o'clock. Can we do this tomorrow? No. I mean, today is when we're going to do it. You're committed once you start. You have to follow through regardless of the circumstances. Breeding discipline becomes a problem. One of all my guys have 4-H'ers and all this, and they've suddenly realized, hey, we can use a lot of different bulls. And Joe had the show winning steer out of this bull, and he had the show winning heifer out of this bull. And so, you know, you kind of got to stay dedicated to your target of what you want to do when you open yourself up to this huge array of genetics you can use through AI. Neighbors. That's my biggest problem. All of my neighbors have highly controlled, strictly adhered to 365-day breeding seasons. Okay? The bull is out all the time. So when you're synchronizing a bunch of cattle, that becomes a problem. I had a little lady who had a bull next to a farm I rent. She was so proud of this bull. He was quarter Hereford, quarter Charolais, quarter Kenyan, and quarter Brahma. She had raised him, and all 1,200 pounds of him is stacked with hybrid vigor. He could smell cows in the heat a mile away. He could jump over fences in a single bound. And every year our cows would start cycling. I'd catch him, bring him to my house, boarding till we were done AIing, take him back. And we did this for 3 years. She bought some cows that weren't unbred. I had him there. She said, I have to have him back. You got to bring him back. I can't. And this was like 2 days before we're going to pull the cedars. And I thought, oh my, this is not going to be good. The good Lord does take care of you. We had a thunderstorm that night. He was under a power line. It hit the power line, dropped on him, and took him to a nice, well done status. At that point, I was the only person thankful for the power outage that night, I will tell you that. So that is the biggest problem you're going to have is the people around you. I actually have an extensive bull lending program to all of my neighbors. I have 7 bulls lent out, free of charge at this point. So if they jump in, they're my bulls. So we can at least know what they're out of. But in conclusion, with all this availability today, there's so much risk in this business. There's absolutely risk in feeding, caring, weather, economics, whatever. You got control of one thing. One thing you have total control over, and that's genetics. And with timed AI, you can take those genetics and make them work for you probably better and more efficiently than you ever have before. So I think it's just a tremendous deal, and I've been so thankful to be able to work with these guys and work through this program, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here.